It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Great to have you with us. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Perhaps nowhere in the Atlanta area are the effects of President Trump's recent travel orders felt more strongly than in the city of Clarkston, which is home to a large refugee community from all over the world. The mayor of Clarkston is Ted Terry. He joins us now in the studio. Mayor Terry, welcome back.
Thank you, Dennis.
Obviously, there's a lot of confusion around the orders and exactly what they mean and who's affected, but has it had a major effect on that many families in Clarkston since we only have seven countries covered by the order and you have refugees from many countries that are not affected?
That's right. It's affecting families who want to visit loved ones back home. That's a sort of standard process. And also businesses. We have 40 different nationalities in Clarkston, a lot of international businesses that still, you know, go back home and interact in commerce. And I think there's a lot of fears right now about the effects that's going to have on their short-term business.
But have you had any families come to you, at least in the last couple of days, and say, look, my loved one has been affected, he or she can't come here, and they were planning to?
I haven't heard directly from in that situation. Anecdotally, I'm aware of people from Sudan who have been held up at the airport in New York and concerns about whether there are, you know, the ability to actually, you know, go and visit loved ones, you know, overseas.
You're the mayor of a small town. Presumably, you're not crazy about the president's orders, but is there anything you could do?
There's nothing I can do. The president is in complete control of the immigration system in our country, and all I can do for my part is say that refugees are a important and vital part of Clarkston's local economy. If you meet a refugee, you'll recognize them to be some of the most peaceful and kind-hearted and resilient people you'll ever meet. And I'm very, very proud to call them my friends and neighbors. And I think that they have contributed a lot to Clarkston and certainly America.
But the president could argue, look, I mean, my order doesn't affect the people who are here. It affects people who might be coming over who might not be sufficiently vetted. And that's the purpose behind this.
Well, the order has a lot of parts to it, right? And so, you know, what we're looking ahead sort of long term is the fact that the cap of refugee resettlement from 110,000 is being lowered to 50,000. And so the fact of the matter is millions of dollars are spent every year on apartments, utilities, food at the local grocery stores in Clarkston. And if that gets cut in half, that's going to have a tremendous effect on our local businesses.
Do you plan to try to contact the White House, Customs and Border Patrol, that kind of thing?
Sure. Yeah. I have an open invitation to the president, the vice president, anyone in the administration who wants to come and visit Clarkston and see for themselves. I think the Syrians that we have received recently, they were in camps for 3 to 4 years. They went through 2 years of vetting. I saw the Syrian family that I'm sponsoring in Clarkston last night for dinner, and they're concerned because they actually still have family in Damascus, in refugee camps in Turkey. And as it stands right now, those families will probably never be unified as long as this order stays in place.
Certainly for those families in Syria, it is a real concern because we're talking about an indefinite order. But for those, even from the other six countries that are covered, would the economic effects on Clarkston be that great if it's a temporary order and it's lifted for those countries after that temporary time runs out?
Sure, yeah. Once that temporary order runs out, hopefully we can restore commercial and business ties. I think whether it's refugee resettlement or international trade, these are one of the best investments and dividends that can be recouped for international peace. And if we have cultural ties, if we have business ties with other countries, that is going to be much more valuable to us in the long term in terms of fighting radical Islamic terrorism, winning the hearts and minds of these people who 99% of them are interested in just living their lives. They want their families to be, you know, safe and secure and to have opportunities for them. And they're not interested in being terrorists. They're escaping terror.
Because supporters of the president's order could certainly say, look, you know, this is a temporary thing and it won't have long-lasting impacts, not even on the families, except in the case of Syrians.
That's right. I think that's fair. And, you know, the only thing I can just continue to say are that, one, refugees are not a drain on Clarkston. They're not a drain on Georgia. They're providing a workforce to do jobs that Americans simply will not do. If you look at the chicken industry, you know, Georgia is the chicken capital of the world, and it is supported by refugee workers. And that's an incredibly important part of our local economy. And to see that number in the future be cut in half, I think we're talking about a detrimental effect just for Georgia's economy.
Have you heard from families who have settled in Clarkston about the vetting process that they have gone through so far under the previously existing system?
That's right. Yeah. So just for the Syrians in this case, Obama put in place the Syria Enhanced Review, a whole other layer of vetting that goes into the normal United Nations Department of Homeland Security, FBI vetting and background checks and multiple interrogations. But we have to remember here that we're talking about a drop in this sea of humanity. We have 16 million people that are in refugee status, meaning they have been forced to flee their home country. Another 60 million that are internally displaced in their own countries around the world. And America has taken in 10,000 of that 2 million people. And this basically means that the average refugee right now has been in a refugee camp for almost 15 years. And so in terms of infiltration of ISIS into the refugee program, I'm telling you, you know, they're going to be waiting for a very, very long time. They're more interested in fighting a battle right now. And, you know, just back to this larger sort of issue of what is the good investment for Americans to make. I hear a lot of sort of duality between, well, we should be housing homeless veterans instead of refugees. And I would argue that those are not mutually exclusive goals. I would say that spending $1 billion on an artillery system that no one wants is not going to keep us safe from Islamic terrorism, but the compassion and the love and the humanity that we're showing to people through no fault of their own who have been displaced because of terrorism is going to provide us an opportunity to win the hearts and minds of the Islamic world, of the people in the Middle East, to realize that America has values that extend beyond what religion you have, and that we recognize the humanity in all people.
Can you understand the argument, though, of someone who looks at recent attacks around the world and says, hey, we need to do more?
Well, that's another sort of misinformation I think that's been out there. You know, the situation in Europe is completely different. You know, people are walking across Europe, across open borders. You cannot get on a raft from Syria and make it to America. You have to go to a camp. The UN has to vet you. The Department of Homeland Security has to vet you. Then you have to get on a plane. And then you fly into international airport in JFK. Then you come to Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. And you literally have the bags and the clothes on your back. And you have started a new life. And I'm telling you, if we push aside, if we castigate, if we tell our Muslim neighbors and friends that there's something wrong with them, that they're evil, I guarantee you that is the slippery slope towards areas for enclaves, for pushing into radicalization. But if we welcome them, if we tell them that they're an important part of America, we want them to follow the laws, learn English, pay their taxes, get a job, and contribute to the community, and that's our message, we will benefit from that.
Will this order, though, mean that the city government, for which you're responsible, have to spend more, exert more energy, put together more efforts to help the families who are trying to reunite with loved ones?
Well, that's an important part because the city government does not spend any taxpayer money on refugee resettlement. That is purely a function of the federal Refugee Act of 1980. And quite frankly, it's kind of like public radio. The government provides a little bit of support, but a big part of the resettlement is families and churches and mosques and other congregations donating furniture and clothes and money and time. And there's a large part of it that's just charity from the American people. And so at the end of the day, we will, as a city, be completely fine. I mean, we're balancing our budget and we have pretty low taxes as it is. I will say this, though. If you look at all of the types of people that you would want in your community in terms of keeping your community safe, refugees are the most peaceful, nonviolent residents that you could ever want in your city. And I think they've been a major contributing factor to Clarkston's low crime rate, which is one of the lowest in the state.
Since the president is newly installed in office, do you have any thoughts that if you and others make the appeal that he will listen.
Sure. I mean, he said that he's open-minded on a lot of these things. He's interested in making deals. And, you know, I mean, all I can do is extend an invitation to him. I'm open to be a resource for him and his administration. And that's all I can do.
Ted Terry is the mayor of Clarkston, Georgia. Mr. Mayor, thanks so much for being back with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis.